Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for joining me on the radio show today. And today we're going to be talking about a topic that I get a good amount of emails about since I'm a health teacher and I also teach about the Bible. And I also teach about the Renewed Covenant versus the Old Covenant, or the Old Testament versus the New Testament. And as believers, what we're supposed to be doing on a daily basis, and all about Torah. The name of my ministry is Torah Life Ministries, which basically is the guidelines our instructor gave us to bless us, often mistaken as the law. And people often misunderstand the difference between the laws of our Creator versus the laws of man, or the laws of our Creator versus the traditions of man. And this is a big part of it, because as I teach people what our Creator said and to do, people often say, we no longer have to do that. Or we have a new law or a new covenant, and we no longer need to follow the old ways. And when I read scripture, that just doesn't make sense to me that people would even suggest that, because nowhere in the Bible does it say we're changing the commandments. It says they're so important, we're taking it off paper and putting it on our hearts. And I know there are many Christians out there who are very loving and sincere Christians, that and what they want is they want a relationship with our Creator on the highest level, but at the same time they're deceived to believe that they no longer need to follow in their actions with what our Creator tells us to do and how to live. So one of the questions I get quite often when it comes to this topic is the food. Because even the average church, I go to the average church today, and they're feeding people food that the Bible calls unclean, that says we should not eat those foods. But people are still eating those foods. The churches are serving those foods. Why is this, and why does it matter? And let me explain that, and that's why we're going to look at Acts 10 today, because one of the scriptures people point to me a lot and say, Acts 10 is a perfect example that we are now allowed and free to eat any food we want. And there are even other scriptures in the Bible where it says, and now, you know, it's not what comes out of the, what comes in the mouth, it will come out of the heart, so all foods are clean to eat. Which, by the way, in the Bibles, those are in parentheses, and that's not what it's really saying. All foods are not clean to eat, and the scriptures clearly say what is considered clean and unclean food. But today I want to focus on Acts 10, and this is Peter's vision, because there's a lot of people that email me, Christians, and I say, well, Acts 10 proves that we can eat anything we want, and it's okay, and the law was changed, and now we can go ahead and eat unclean food. Well, we're going to look at this here, and I first want to tell everybody the definition of kosher, because a lot of people hear this word kosher, and just to clarify it up a little, because it goes beyond, health goes beyond just what our Creator says we're allowed to eat, because most of the food that the Bible says we're allowed to eat is been so messed up by man today that it's just not healthy for our bodies. And I would say there's three forms of kosher, or three definitions of kosher. And one is rabbinical kosher. That means a rabbi, somebody that looks like me, has to bless it for it to be okay to eat, or kosher. Then there's biblical kosher, which says the Bible says what is okay and not okay to eat. And then there's what I call common sense kosher, meaning we are called to take care of our temple and not to defile it, to keep our body healthy. And I don't care if the Bible says it or a man says it. If it's not good for my body, it shouldn't be in there. So when I see the overweight rabbi standing at the Knish corner eating a fried potato Knish or their kosher hot dogs, that is not common sense kosher. That is not healthy for the body. So we need to eat the things our Creator said was okay, but also in a healthy way. So you don't want to take what he says is okay and just fry it up and microwave it and all of a sudden mess up what he gave us, which a man has a habit of doing. But let's focus on Acts 10, because Acts 10 is something that confused a lot of people. And for me, when I speak to somebody about the Bible, even have a conversation about the Bible, I usually ask them about Acts 10. And depending on their opinion about it, gives me a clear example to know who knows their scriptures or not. Because when somebody tells me that Acts 10, it's Peter's vision with the unclean animals, means we can now eat all food and no food is considered unclean, I know they do not understand how to read scripture, or they're not looking in their scripture correctly. And it helps me to have a conversation with them in terms of the way I approach the conversation. So if somebody has a good understanding of scripture, I have to take it to another level. But if somebody doesn't, and then I got to talk to it like I'm going to talk to a lot of people here today on the radio show, because a lot of people don't understand what this vision is with Peter and so on. So first, let's look at Peter himself. And one of the followers of Yeshua was with Yeshua personally. The one you call Jesus was with him personally. And we know the story about him denying Yeshua three times and so on. But to fast forward here, so Yeshua's gone. Peter's here spreading the word, just like the other apostles, getting the word out. And we see in Acts 9, two amazing things that Peter does to just show you the faith of Peter. So I want to start this off by showing you the faith of Peter. One was in Acts 9:34, Peter healed a paralyzed man of 8 years. He said, "Get up in the name of Yeshua, you're healed." And the man just got up and walked. The man was in bed for 8 years, got up and walked. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. It's just our faith that is lacking. Peter healed a paralyzed man of 8 years. Now, that's pretty amazing. Like, that is like the most amazing thing. But just in the name of Yeshua, that Yeshua speaks, you get up, you go. You know, but it goes beyond that, folks. Way beyond that. In Acts 10:40, there was a lady named Tabitha who was well respected and loved throughout the community. Folks, she died. She died. And Peter brought her back from the dead. Well, Yahweh brought her back from the dead using Peter as the vessel. But this is to show you the faith of a man like Peter. So when we get down to Acts 10, and we start seeing the idea of Peter breaking Yahweh's law or guidelines, understand what I just read. His faith was so strong that not only can he just speak in the name of Yeshua and a paralyzed man of 8 years would get up and walk, but somebody would come back from the dead. So as that being a premise of Peter's wonderful faith of Yahweh, we go to Acts 10. And remember, with Yeshua said, who is the most faithful man that he's ever seen? Was a Roman soldier who said to him, "You don't even need to come to help my son. Just say it and he's healed." And Yeshua himself said, "I've never seen such faith amongst even those with me. And here you are saying this." So remember, that was a soldier of the opposition of the Jewish people. Well, here in Acts 10, we see a Roman army officer named Cornelius. He was a devout, godly, fearing man. Now, remember, he was in charge of the Roman army, and the Roman army wasn't supposed to be believers in Yahweh. I mean, they're the ones that were partially guilty of putting Yeshua to death here. And they were, you know, so this was a devout, God-fearing man. So he had seen what happened with the resurrection. He has seen what happened, most likely with his own eyes, and he believed. So he was still a Roman officer, but he was a devout, God-fearing man. And so was everyone in his household. So he knew about order. He knew about putting it down there. And this man gave generously to the poor. We get this depiction from movies and scripture that every Roman soldier was just a mean, brutal soldier and just, you know, just oppressor. But it says clearly, he gave to the poor. And the most important thing he did, folks, he prayed regularly. He prayed regularly. So that's who this man was, this Roman soldier. And who was he praying to? Well, it says he was a God-fearing man. And the God he prayed to was Yahweh. So Yahweh sent an angel to Cornelius. He sent an angel to him, and he says, the angel tells him to summon a man named Simon Peter. Now, Simon Peter being one of the apostles that was with Yeshua, this Roman soldier didn't know who he was. Because it didn't say Simon, summon Simon Peter. He said, no, a man named. So he didn't know who he was, but the angel said, you need to speak to him. You need to find him. So, and this is a great example of a way Yahweh uses just everyone for the greater good. So Peter was blessed by Cornelius tremendously in this story. So the next day, Peter goes to pray. Again, the idea of praying. All of the followers of Scripture prayed, and they prayed on a regular day. So Peter goes to pray, and he has this vision of a sheet. And on the sheet is clean and unclean animals. So that's what's on the sheet, clean and unclean animals. And Yahweh tells him to kill and eat, or to slaughter and eat. And Acts 10:14, Peter says, but Yahweh forbid my master, because I have never eaten anything common or unclean. So this shows, again, the faithfulness, how faithful Peter was. He's never eaten anything common or unclean. Now, what I want to discuss here is this incident has taken place somewhere around 10 years after the resurrection of Yeshua. So for 10 years afterwards, Peter says clearly he hasn't eaten anything unclean for 10 years. So for anyone to claim that once Yeshua died, the law is done away with and we can do whatever we want and all food is clean and all this. Listen, Peter, a faithful man, so faithful that through his faith he can heal dead people and have paralyzed people get up and walk. I still hadn't eaten anything unclean for 10 years. Because Torah is forever. It's not just for a certain time. These are the guidelines and instructions of our Creator to bless us and for us to show our faith in Him. And it was the same thing with the Sabbath. They kept the Sabbath and they kept all the guidelines and instructions that our Creator told them to keep throughout all your generations. So now we ask this question, is why couldn't Peter just say, okay, there's clean and unclean animals on the sheet, and Yahweh just told me to kill and eat. So why couldn't Peter just separate and just take all those clean animals and eat those clean animals off the sheet and avoid those unclean animals? Well, there's two words here that's used. You know, Peter says, I haven't eaten anything unclean or common. So why didn't he just say, I haven't eaten anything unclean? And what's the difference between unclean and common? Well, unclean is according to the Levitical law, it tells us what animals are unclean and what animals are an abomination and we should not eat. The unclean, unkosher animals that we should avoid. But then this word common, what it meant was meaning anything that's done by everyone or everything. So for example, according to the Jewish law at the time, anything that touched something that was not clean became unclean. So if there's an item, so if I have a clean piece of food on my plate and you put an unclean piece of food on my plate, all of a sudden that clean piece of food becomes unclean. And it would have been the same principle for the sheet or for a table. Anything on a table here I am in a Jewish household and I'm eating my kosher table and you bring something unclean and even put it on a table, everything else is unclean. So that's why Peter couldn't just say, well, I'm just going to pick out the clean things and not eat the unclean ones. In the first century, the Jewish people were so stuck to this law of man, because it's not of Yahweh, it's the law of man. They were so stuck to this that they wouldn't even eat things that had olive oil that was crushed by Gentile believers or by heathen believers. I mean, this was a strict fence around the law, but it wasn't a scriptural thing. It wasn't in the Torah. It was a Jewish tradition. So be it, for whatever reason it was, whether it made it harder or easier or whatever, that's what they believed. And Peter, being a faithful person, was doing his best to stick to this, and this fence is one that he observed. So anything unclean or common. So Yahweh was using this analogy with food here. To show Peter not to call people who were new believers, that they weren't Jewish, but they were new believers, common. So in the past, Peter was under the impression that it wasn't only food, but people who were not of their tribe of Judah or a part of Israel were unclean, or they were common, which was considered unclean. So this was what Peter learned, and this is the lesson he gave him when he spoke. And in Acts 10:28, it says, Peter told him when they met, when Peter and Cornelius met, it said, Peter told him, "You know that it's not lawful for a Jewish man to associate with or come near a foreign man who is not the son of his tribe. But Yahweh showed me concerning a man not to say that he is common or unclean." So Yahweh was using Cornelius to help Peter see this truth. And Peter had not been cursed for believing this truth for all these years. I mean, he was so blessed and so faithful that it was used to heal paralyzed and dead people and do so much more. This idea of this this uncommon thing was unlawful according to rabbinical tradition, but not according to the oral Torah. So that is important. We must understand, and this is so important for you guys listening today, you must understand the difference between the traditions of man and the guidelines and instructions that our Creator gave us to bless us. Both of them today are referred to as a law. The law of man and the law of Yahweh. But when you break it down as the traditions of man versus the guidelines and instructions that our Creator gave us to bless us, that's what it comes down to. I have another teaching on that, or several teachings on my website, but in no way are we to follow a man-made system or tradition. Whether it's Judaism or Christianity or any other belief system out there, we are to follow the written word of our Creator. And so this whole vision was about changing the way Peter, or just in general, the example set for all believers today, that the traditional Jewish person back then in the first century looked at non-Jewish people, whether they were believers or not, and to let us know that every single person, no matter where they've come from, can be washed over and clean again by the blood of Yeshua and accepted in. So it wasn't about food. It's about people. It's not about food. And when somebody says that, you know, Peter, this was, for Peter ate unclean food, saying now we can eat unclean food. No, you know, nowhere does it ever say or should know that, you know, it condones the eating of unclean food according to the Torah, the guideline instructions of our Creator. In fact, nowhere in Scripture and nowhere in this verse does it say Peter actually ate this unclean food that was on the sheet. He never ate it. You know, and he would have been breaking the law if he did eat it. Yahweh was proving this point in doing this, and this is what he did. So, Acts 10:34 to 10:35. This is powerful, and the point, and the goal, and what I want people to understand. Acts 10:34 to 35, it says, "Then Peter replied, 'I see very clearly that Yahweh shows no favoritism.'" And that's 34. And 10:35 says, "In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right." Now, I want everyone that's listening, when you get home, if you're listening in your car or wherever you're listening to this, when you get home, turn to Acts 10:34 and 10:35. I've already explained to you what the vision meant by Peter. It had nothing to do with the unclean food. It was exactly what Peter just said in verse 34. "I see very clearly that Yahweh shows no favoritism." It's not about Jew or Gentile. As a matter of fact, the word Gentile doesn't mean non-Jewish. It means non-believer or heathen. You know, when you become a believer, you automatically become part of the Commonwealth of Israel. And just like the people that left Egypt that came with the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, they now had to follow the guidelines and instructions that were given in Torah. But what I want you to focus on here is 10:35. It says, "In every nation, he accepts those that do two things." Two things for our Creator's acceptance. Number one, who fear him. It says in the Scripture, in the Word, the beginning of wisdom is fear. Fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. And number two, that do what is right. that do what is right. Folks, do is an action word. Underline it, highlight it. Do is an action word. So those that fear him but do not do what is right, that's lip service. That's deception. If you fear him, you're going to do what he said to do. We look at another translation, 10:35. It says, but in every nation, the one fearing him and working righteousness is acceptable to him. Is acceptable to him. Working righteousness. That means living the right way according, not to man's traditions, not according to the world, not according to our feelings. No, but according to his guidelines and instructions that he gave us to bless us. So the one fearing him, but also working or doing righteousness, that's what's acceptable to our Creator. He says in his word, folks, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And some people get overwhelmed. They say, there's no way we can keep all 10 commandments. When a Christian tells me this, I think, as a believer, would you have the faith, please? There are over 600 commandments in the Bible. And you have the nerve and the gall to tell me as a believer you can't keep 10 of them? We are to keep every possible one we can. Everyone, what percentage is 10% or 10 of 600? You can't even keep 1% or even less than that, a half a percent of what our Creator asked you to do. And you say you're faithful and fearful in our Creator? Yeshua says my yoke is easy because he's taken away the heresy and the yoke of the Pharisees, which is just overwhelming. This fence that they put up around the guidelines and instructions that our Creator came to bless us. That Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, came to do away with and separate and divide and say, no, it is not about this man-made tradition and adding to the law. Because it says in Deuteronomy, do not add or take away, but keep my guidelines and instructions. Do not add or take away, but keep them. Underline, highlight, circle the word keep, but keep them, but do them. And here he says in verse 35 of Acts 10, but in every nation, one fearing him and working righteousness. Or in another translation, fearing him and doing what is right. What is the problem? There's not one guideline or instruction our Creator gives us that is negative or bad for our health. We have the capability and the opportunity to fulfill every single guideline and instruction that our Creator asks us to do. And if we don't have, people say, well, which one should we do and which one should we do? Look, not all 600 apply to me. There's over 600, 613. They don't all apply to me. I do not have the opportunity. Many of them are for women. Clearly, I'm not a woman. Many of them are for farmers. I'm not a farmer. I want to be, but I'm not. But the ones that apply to me, that I am willing and able to do, I need to do. And not make up an excuse to say I can't do that. There are not many more above the Ten Commandments that we need to do. But when we think about the small percentage of this, yes, Yeshua, our Messiah, the one you call Jesus, was the only perfect one. He was the only one that can do everyone right every single time. Yes, you will mess up. Yes, you will make a mistake. Yes, you will sin. But the difference is your repentance towards it. Are you going to make a practice out of living in sin and make an excuse that it's okay to do that because some guideline, instruction, or law was nailed to the cross? Or are you going to do your best to follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, not making any excuses to transgress from them? And when you make a mistake, when you mess up, when you miss the mark, then you know you have the Creator's mercy and grace to help you during those times and to strengthen you so in the future you'll be stronger and wiser and you won't mess up. That's what we need to strive for. And I will submit to you that the mercy and the grace of our Creator is not for those that continue to defile and use the death of Yeshua as an excuse to keep living in sin. It is for those that decide and want a new life in Yeshua and decide to forget about their feelings and forget about what people are saying, but live their life according to His word, His guidelines, and His instructions. And He's there for us. What it comes down to this is, folks, is yes, we all sin, but when you sin, do you hate sin or do you love sin? Do you despise it so much that you seek not to do it? Well, these are very important, valuable lessons that we see here in this chapter and this understanding about Peter and Peter's vision. And it is my prayer that people see this more clearly. Our Creator says we're only saved one way, through the blood of Yeshua Messiah, the one you call Jesus. That's the only way to have salvation. It's not about works. It's about faith. It's about, that's what it's about. But He also says that there are many curses attached to our disobedience and many blessings attached to our obedience. If you have a faithful heart, you're not keeping the guidelines and instructions to be saved. Well, you know, you're keeping it, you know, because He told you to keep it. Because He wants what's best for you. Your guidelines and instructions. The guideline instructions, that's why He gave them. And understanding this and understanding this clearly, folks, that these guidelines and instructions will give us amazing blessings. And the greatest blessing that we can get is not about money or cars or houses or anything like that. It's about a peace and a shalom that's on our heart, knowing no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's happening out there, we're not going to be shaken. We're going to be just fine. And another great blessing of Scripture, as it says clearly, is those that are righteous, our Creator hears your prayers. And those that are not righteous, He detests them and He doesn't hear them. If you want Him to hear your prayers, and if you want a peace and a joy inside you, that can only come by the blessings that our Creator gives us. What you need, folks, is to start being obedient to the Word. And my prayer today, and that you would understand today, is if you love Him, you will keep His commandments, His guidelines and instructions. So praise Him, and I pray you get this teaching and you understand this. You can go to my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and see this teaching and download this teaching, or you can hear it wherever you're hearing it, on the website or the podcast or the radio station, and you can get it there. But I just pray that you guys get it, you see it, you realize it, and you live it.
Thank you for listening. We have so many messages I put this week about health on the air. You can look back at the archives in this radio station to hear them, or go to my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and you can watch all of the videos that I have on there about the topic of health and healing from disease, and just to experience the great energy that we can have. So thank you, and have a great day.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33411. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
Everybody's got